If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Galatians and chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, and we're reading the first 14 verses. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "In you all of the nations shall be blessed." So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs upon a tree," that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah, that is the word of God. Last Sunday, of course, was Pentecost Sunday, and we referred to the late Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was the minister of Westminster Chapel for a number of years, a reformed chapel, and he was a reformed preacher, believed very much in the doctrines of grace, and certainly most in his church would have been what we would call cessationists, did not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit. We are a Pentecostal church. We do believe in that. The bizarre manifestations which accompany many within the so-called Christian church, we will have nothing to do with. But we want the real thing. And Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said to his congregation, just to remind you, towards the end of his life, and probably at the pinnacle of his ministry, he says, do you believe in the baptism, the fullness of the Holy Spirit? And he said, "I know most of you will answer, we got it all at conversion." And of course, as we may refer to in a moment, we cannot be Christians, we cannot be followers of Christ, we cannot be believers unless we're born again of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah! He comes to indwell us, he comes to transform us, he comes to make us children of light rather than continued children of the devil, sons and daughters of the evil one. He takes us from one kingdom when we're born again into a brand new kingdom. The kingdom of light, the kingdom of love. Blessed be his name. Hallelujah. That's being born again. "You did not choose me," Jesus said. "I chose you." Much I don't understand, but to know that we're forgiven. You know, we sung that beautiful hymn, you know, just now, you know, when it is well, only those are resting on the finished work of Jesus can say it is well. Hallelujah. It is well. It is well. And Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, well, if you got it all at conversion, where in God's name is it? We need the power, the life of the Holy Spirit. We need to die to self and live in Jesus. And this morning's subject or title, the theme is living in the supernatural grace, the the transforming grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a liberating grace. It's a liberating grace. Now you know a little bit about Galatians, and the chapter that we read began, what has bewitched you? Who has bewitched you? You see, Paul had a ministry, although he was a Jew amongst Jews. He had a heart also for the Gentiles. He was preaching to the Gentiles. And Paul was prepared at times to have an argument. Even if it was with his beloved Peter, he would have an argument to defend the faith, to contend for faith, to contend for doctrine. And there would have been many Jewish believers, yes, who had found the Messiah, who had believed on Jesus Christ. But they were looking at these Gentiles who had come to faith, who had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who had been born again. And they said, hey, hang on. They're not yet perfect. These Gentiles aren't like us. They ought to be circumcised. They ought to do what we have done and obey what we have done. And the Apostle Paul said, hang on. What they have found is life. They've met Jesus. They've been transformed within. Why go back to the law? They believed on Jesus through faith. No one can come to Jesus unless he draws and we respond by faith and say, yes, you're the Son of God. You're the Lamb of God who takes away my sin and the sins of the world. Hallelujah. Faith receives the promises we've just read there. Why go back to the law? Were you saved by the law? God forbid. The law teaches you that you're a sinner. Christ teaches you that you can be forgiven. Hallelujah. Who's bewitched you? Don't go back to that which will bring you into bondage. So Paul was not ashamed to confront error and to get the truth out. And you know, friends, I'll tell you, it's coming into the church again today, this legalistic adherence to the law. I had to respond late last night to an email from another minister who's criticizing me and others because we haven't got the Ten Commandments behind us in our churches. And they're saying, why are you still meeting on a Sunday and not Saturday? I had to respond to it late last night. And that will be the end of it, because I will not enter into further discussion with this. We've come into freedom. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. This is the liberating grace of God. And I want us, that this church, this fellowship, really walks and lives in the overflowing grace and the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been liberated by the Spirit of Christ. And there's so much in this precious word, in this word of God, for Christians in regard to overcoming everything that threatens to hinder our Spirit-filled life. There's everything there that we can use and believe that will enable us to overcome those things that threaten and that do at times hinder the Spirit-filled life. What does the Bible say about this liberating grace? Apostle Paul says, he reminds them, it's by faith you're saved. Thank God it's still through the preaching and the gossiping of the gospel that men, women, boys and girls are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. It's wonderful. Hallelujah. You see, you don't have to get circumcised. You don't have to keep Saturday or whatever to gain the favor of God. You can't gain God's favor that way. That is meritorious. We're now in Christ. Does that mean we can do as we like, go on to sin? No! The Christ, the Lord Jesus says, no! Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve me. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ says that when we do sin, when we do stumble, when we do fall, when gossip, wrong words come out of our mouth, we quickly ask forgiveness. We quickly make it right with the Lord and plead the blood of Jesus, which cleanses us from all sin. But we are not to compromise with the principle of grace. Not to compromise with the principle of grace. We must not walk away from the gospel that we have believed and trusted. We cannot go back to or go to religious observances or ceremonial performances. But we are to rely on the faith of Christ and have that life-giving grace, that life-giving spirit, which will produce love, joy and praise of God. You know, in the book of Galatians, the Holy Spirit is mentioned 18 times. Let me just quote that scripture from Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, which I mentioned about being born again. That says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. That's interesting. As I was reading this much earlier, do you see that? It says, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. That's a good one for the Jehovah Witnesses. Hallelujah. Oh, man. If you've tasted of the Lord's goodness, you know something, the Lord's grace, the freedom that he's won for you, don't ever consider relying on religious works of any kind to gain favour from God. But live in the aroma of God's grace. The aroma of God's grace. Let me, you know, we need to ask ourselves a few questions. Do I feel guilty when I take time to relax, when I have so much to do? I'll give you an example. At the moment, life is very, very busy. I've been challenged in all directions. I'm blessed, really, really blessed. But yesterday was my day off and... But I knew I'd got so much to do. I'm grateful for a sister who spoke into my life. And so that I didn't feel guilty when I watched a couple of hours cricket. How often do you feel discontent with yourself or in your situation? Do you have a tendency to see what is wrong in a person rather than what is right? Are you frustrated in what the Lord is doing? Has your relationship with Jesus become a burden rather than a blessing? Maybe we've been afflicted with the sin of perfectness, perfectionism. Perfectionism is trying to prove our worth by being perfect. Now listen, this is not the same as seeking to rely on the power of God and the grace of the Lord to reach the goal set for us by Jesus, who said, be perfect therefore as your heavenly Father is perfect. Matthew 5 verse 48. That goal is accomplished by us surrendering ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ as we allow the Holy Spirit and his graces to create in us the image of Christ. But we are never perfect, or will become perfect, by our own efforts and by religious observance or being legalistic. Christians who walk in the grace of Christ, who are being transformed by His grace and the Holy Spirit, do not need to wait for perfect conditions before they will be obedient to the Lord. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes which I found. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verse 4 says, "Whoever watches the wind will not plant, whoever looks at the clouds will not reap." Those who live in the aroma of God's grace will not wait until they have the perfect worship team, the greatest preacher, the best facilities to invite others to the church, or that they will come regular in their own attendance. Because those who live in the aroma of God's grace are also careful not to overreact to the fault of others. They strive to administer grace to others. Proverbs chapter 17 verse 9 says, "He who covers over an offence promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends." The passage that we've read from Galatians and this precious word of God gives us all a wonderful opportunity to really grow in faith and in our spiritual maturity. And of course, you know, the scripture which I've just quoted from Proverbs, you know, how we respond to the weaknesses of others and their ability to keep those weaknesses, and our ability to keep those weaknesses to ourselves, we'll speak much about what God is doing in through us. Harping on the past has destroyed many marriages, relationships and churches. And I pray that you and I and this fellowship will enjoy the blessings of walking in obedience and stop expecting perfection from each other, but that we'll see the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ at work. This is a place to find true liberty. You see, grace makes allowance for each other's faults. In a church fellowship, we experience mercy. Hallelujah. We experience mercy. And fellowship is a place of grace where mistakes are rubbed out and not rubbed in. Friends, if any of you are listening to gossip or people criticizing church or fellowship, cut it out, because you will be affected by that same spirit. At times we hurt each other. Let's face it, we hurt each other. There's opportunities to extend grace. And I'll tell you, the grace and the mercy that I extend to you is nothing like what grace I've received from God. And what you extend to me is nothing like you have received from the Lord. It's not. Hallelujah. We must live in grace. According to His power that is at work within us. His power that is work in us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ makes rich. According to His power that is at work within us. There is so much in here that has such life, such power. Hallelujah. I tell you, the word of God, you know, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I can do all things which are in the will of God because He strengthens me. That's greater than any counseling, is greater than any therapy. The word of God. Hallelujah. God can give you, if you're seeking a word from the Bible, from the Lord Himself this morning, God will give it to you. A word that goes back perhaps into your past and heals your yesterday. A word that secures your today and anchors your future. Hallelujah. You see, that's why Satan so clutters our life so much with junk that we don't have time for God's word. Because he knows when we get into the word of God and when the Holy Spirit opens it up to us, it unmasks Satan. It unmasks him for who he is and it reveals Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It reveals his grace, his glory, and the Spirit's potential that is lying perhaps dormant within each one of us. That's what happens. The invigorating, transforming grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The living Word of God is changing you and it's changing me as we allow it. In spite, perhaps, of circumstances, perhaps in spite of the evil which we may be surrounded with, the Lord says he will perfect that work which he has begun in you. He will continue his work in you. He will complete it, hallelujah, until the day of Jesus Christ. We can have full confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to keep us from falling. And to present us in his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. Don't go back to legalism. Don't go back to works. Experience the lavishness of God's grace. Christians are given a liberty to overcome sin, to walk in the righteousness of Christ, and to know the joy of being called the children of God. How great is the love of the Father? How great is his love that he has lavished, that's grace, that he's lavished on us that we should be called the children of God.